This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
So, what's up with you hip cats?
I've been working on some questions for you guys.
Perfect. Ask away. I would like to answer them.
Well, do we want to...
Yeah, do you guys want to...
the questions, do we want to get This Week in Wrestling out of the way?
This Week in Wrestling.
Nothing worthwhile happened. Mike, how was Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor was amazing. You can read all about it on the WrestlingInsomniac.com, but it was absolutely amazing. We get there, of course, and the big dilemma once we got there. First of all, we got there, we parked in the normal spot, and the parking attendant wasn't out there yet, so we got free parking.
Nice.
Boom. And then, yeah, and then it was 90 degrees out, and one of the requirements for me is to fetch my wife a Jimmy John's sandwich from Jimmy John's.
Yes.
Because we don't have those in Maine.
Yeah.
And
right.
Which
is crazy.
Yeah. The closest one is Lowell, Massachusetts, actually.
Yeah, we don't have them here either. But I know of them because I've, you know, spent most of my youth in Massachusetts.
Yeah. I have Jimmy John's at least once a week for lunch.
Ronnie has Jimmy John's at least once a week for lunch. So when she was living in Kentucky for 6 years, I think it was, she went to Jimmy John's a lot. And like I said, they don't have them up here. So whenever I go on a wrestling excursion, if I go near Jimmy John's, I'm required to pick one up, which is cool. What's funny is the kids I go with, and I call them kids because I'm 10-plus years older than all of them. Anyways, they all think they know that has to happen. And so we're sitting there we went to this pizza place for dinner and we ordered and we're sitting there and like I go, yeah, I didn't bring a cooler or a bag or anything with me and it's 90 degrees outside. I don't think I'm going to be able to get that sandwich. And they were just like, oh no, that's not good. And I go, yeah. And so it was a real dilemma. And Mikey is just like, well, there's a CVS down the road. I mean, like maybe we can get a cooler, this or that. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't think we can do that. And so then I looked up what time they closed. They closed at 2 a.m.
Nice.
So solid. Went and picked it up after the show.
Because the last ROH, or your first ROH live event, right?
In September?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you and I just had an episode where we talked about it. That's where you met Cody Rhodes, right? Or did
Is
that Dalton?
That's where I met Dalton Castle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember that was the big thing that they asked you like six times if you got the sandwich or not.
Yes, exactly. but when I went to, and it was September and it was like 50 degrees, you know, it was safe to sit in the vehicle while we were in the venue. There was no worries about anything happening to it. And the previous time was March, and so it was fine. But in July or June, when it's 90 out, that's not going to sit well. But anyway, so I met Cody Rhodes at Limitless Wrestling this past March. But at this show...
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This show, the only person I did a photo with is Kushida. I got him to sign a card for me. Mm-hmm. But I really wish now, in hindsight, I would have also met... El Tarib, because he was awesome, and
nice.
Yeah, they were the two CMLL guys that came up, and in the opening match, well, let me rephrase that. They had an internet exclusive match, which was a 6-man tag that was solid, and then they had a Women of Honor Dark Show match that was advertised. The 6-man tag was not. So then they had the Women of Honor Dark match that I don't know if it was on this week or not, but it's going to be on at some point, and then the pay-per-view started at 9 o'clock, and it was the Kingdom against Ultimo Guerrero and El Tarib. And there's this spot where, if you watch the pay-per-view, you got to watch it, where El Tarib somehow backs Vinnie Marseglia in the corner and just literally starts just slapping the shit out of him. It was awesome. And I don't know how it captured on like the pay-per-view, but the live crowd, there was lots of ooing and ohing because it was really like, I felt bad for the guy. At the same time, I thought it was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. But no, it was an awesome pay-per-view. Like, after every match, Roy would say, that was a really great match. I'm like, yeah, it was. Like, they just, like, overall, as a show, top to bottom, it was better than All-Star Extravaganza 8. Okay. However, nothing topped Ladder Wars.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. But, you know, it was cool. It was cool being there to see the Dalton Castle and the boys win the six-man tags. It was cool.
Oh, that was such a good match.
Yeah. Yeah, that was. That was a great match. You know, I got to say, the Briscoe brothers and Bully Ray, it's a really great six-man tag combo.
Really?
Like, I think so. Like, their styles, like, if you're going to put, like, three guys together like that, with only guy I could think of you'd put with the Briscoes basically is Bully Ray. So they're a real formidable looking six-man team, but man, Dalton Castle and the boys winning the belts was awesome.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And they told a fantastic story in the match as far as how
I was going to say that with Jay trying to get at them.
I know they aired a promo for the live audience, but I don't know if it was on the pay-per-view. Briscoe kept swearing and they kept beeping him out because he was super angry and wanted to kill the boys.
I saw it.
Okay, I wasn't sure. Well, when he finally gets in the ring, you know, and he goes after him, and then they nutshot him, and then they kind of get the upper hand on him for a little bit, so it dragged it out even more before, and then finally when he got his hands on him, holy crud, like, he was lighting those guys up, and they came by us after the match, whatever, and their chests were already bruised, and one of them was even bleeding from all the chops and everything, because he was just hitting them so damn hard. But yeah, it was a great story. It was awesome. Seeing Dalton Castle get the win and then win the six-man tags, that was pretty cool. And Castle's entrance live is just insane.
The best.
It is so good. Both times I've seen it, like, when he brings his cape up and the fans throw the streamers, that visual is just – and his music with it all, it's amazing. Yep. It is just amazing. But, yeah, I loved it. And then,
yeah, it's interesting to know that people bring the streamers.
Yes, those are brought, like, they were not handing those out before the show at all. Those were fans bring those. Like,
now,
you see
I'm
people coming in
started.
With bags of streamers.
You know, because I mean, obviously now everyone knows that you do it.
Yeah.
But I got to go back and see if I can find, like, older matches and see when it really started to happen.
Like the OG, streamer guy.
Right off the top of my head, well, it's a Japanese thing. It really started in Japan. But what's funny is they don't do that a lot in Japan anymore. Like, I don't know if it's frowned upon, but, like, you know, they don't do that in New Japan hardly at all anymore. They do it on, like, a lot of the smaller indie shows now. I don't know if New Japan's, but they used to always do it in New Japan. I don't know if, like, a new rule, they're like, we're not doing streamers anymore because we want to be different. But, I remember if you watch, there's a the one that stands out was CM Punk's last match in Ring of Honor, and it's probably on his DVD. So whenever that was, 10 years ago, 12 years ago now, there's a shot in Chicago where they throw the streamers and he drops on his knees as the streamers surround him. So, I mean, you know, they were throwing them back then. But anyways, yeah, seeing Cody Rhodes in the win his first world title was pretty cool, just because of the Rhodes name and everything, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It was an awesome night.
And you called it, right?
Yeah, I did.
You went to two ROH pay-per-views, hoping to see two title changes.
Yep.
Each time.
Yeah.
So, main event wise, this isn't a part of our 21 questions, but main event wise, was this one better than the one from September? Main event wise, like match quality wise?
No, because Ladder Wars.
Oh, Ladder Wars was
main evented last year, and
title match wise then.
This was better than Adam Cole and Michael Elgin. Yeah,
I'm gonna say unpopular opinion with you, Mike.
Yeah.
I like this match better than Ladder Wars.
Oh, come on. You liked Cody Rhodes and Christopher Daniels better than Ladder Wars?
I did. Oh, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Well, you don't like Young Bucks, for one.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Oh, that helps. That's true.
For me, and it's not even that. Like, I enjoy a good ladder match, but, you know, I think it's part of where I am right now with professional wrestling, where I prefer, like, a great story in a match, like the Briscoes and Dalton Castle, you know, where he's, like, chomping at the bit to get in. He finally gets, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. You know, everything leading up to it. When a match is, like, just all high spots,
yep,
it never gives you a chance to come down and, like, really appreciate the spots, if you know what I mean.
No, I do what you're saying.
So, you know, I mean, look, it wasn't a bad match. It was entertaining as hell. But personally, I think that the story and everything and the finish and, you know, how everything played out with Cody Rhodes, that match absolutely for me would be better.
Okay. I can appreciate that. I totally
yeah, right.
can appreciate that.
100%.
Anyhow, no, it was a great pay-per-view, and we sat in the same exact seats we sat last time, so, which was nice because I really enjoy being right there on the aisle, slapping hands, taking good pitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That the, one picture of that you snapped of Cody.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Was awesome.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That was. Not to toot my own horn, but I've seen like the other ringside photographers, and I've seen other pictures that people took, and on and on and on. Pretty sure mine was the best because it was straight yeah. on. And yeah. Yeah. I always like that because to me, like, I hate how wrestlers treat the title belts like props, and how they quote unquote don't mean anything. Or I hate it when they just trade them around all the time. Like, because growing up, like, and I know times are different, but when I was growing up, when I was a kid, like, they were always presented to mean something. Like, they're important, you know. Like, I grew up when I was a kid. You gotta understand, Hulk Hogan was champion, and Ric Flair was champion. And they were long-term champions, you know. Macho Man Savage was the IC champ for over a year. I mean, it meant something when Ricky Steamboat beat him for the belt. It meant something when Hogan got screwed out of the title, and then Macho Man won the belt and had his almost year-long run with it. I mean, right. When Ric Flair had the title, you know, they always made it a big deal. They made it like, this is our world champion, you know. And then now it's been so watered down all the time with WWE and everything, and that's very frustrating. And Ring of Honor is always kind of really done good presenting their, you know, making their champion mean something, and as New Japan Pro Wrestling does as well. So to me, it was really refreshing, and it was really awesome and cool to see Cody pick up the win, have the emotional reaction that he had when he won,
mm-hmm.
You know, because it meant something to him.
Yeah.
So, right. Yeah. I was really glad I got to be there for that. To me, that's kind of like history because it just is.
And the cool tweet that Daniel Bryan sent out about it.
Yeah, I'm, you know, and I loved how he put out the other one, just hashtag trolling all the time too, because the idea of thinking that September 28th, 2018, Daniel Bryan's going to wrestle again is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Mm.
So. Yeah, that'd be fun. If you're still champ, maybe I'll come take that from you. So,
yeah. Which is awesome because I would like to know when like his current contract runs out.
Apparently, September 28th, 2018 is when he's cleared to wrestle again. So,
well, I thought that was just when he was like when he would break.
I'm guessing that's when his contract has expired and his no-compete clause is over.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that it ends in, like, the late summer.
Yeah. I'm sure he's got that figured out to the day. Like, yeah. He's basically said from the get-go, I'm going to wrestle again. And
okay. Yeah. I guess for me, I didn't take it as, like, that was the day his contract and all that stuff runs out or whatever. Yeah. I took it as, like, when he was ROH champion, like, that would be the day or the day after Cody would break his run or whatever. So
oh,
I guess that's how
I see what you're saying.
And so he was going to have to come the day early or whatever before.
All right, I get what you're saying now. Yeah, so that his reign isn't as long as Daniel Bryan's was.
Right, right, correct.
Or, I'm sorry, Bryan Danielson. Because that's who he'll be again.
Yes.
I don't see him working. Yeah. I don't see him working small independent shows like even Limitless in Maine or something like that. If he's coming back, he's probably wrestling Ring of Honor and New Japan and maybe like Rev Pro over in the UK. But
and PWG.
Oh, yeah. I could totally see him going to PWG.
Because I remember a podcast that he was on that said that he loved that one. So if he ever went back to the indies, he would do that one. For sure.
You know, they're announcing the competitors for the Battle of Los Angeles 2016.
Oh, already?
Yeah, and because it's September, it's like the first weekend in September.
And you mean 2017?
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, 2017, yes, thank you.
Yeah. Back in time.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm pretty sure they announced those, and we saw the event, man. Yeah.
Anyways, one of the names that's sticking out to me that's going to be there is...
Obviously, it's not sticking out too much.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find the list right here. Anyway, Donovan Dijak.
Oh.
Yeah, so they've announced Donovan Dijak's going to be there. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is cool.
They've also announced, is it Ray Phoenix? Well, Phoenix is going to be in it this year. And then Walter is going to be in it. And Walter is basically the trainer for WXW over in Germany. He's like a big barrel type guy, and he's pretty damn awesome. So that's going to be exciting to see him over here. The other competitors, Desmond Xavier, Flamita, Keith Lee, and Travis Banks.
Yeah.
So some good names already, names that you may not have heard of before. But yeah. I'll just leave it at this. If they're booking them for Bola, then you can... Yeah. Rest assured that they're worth watching.
Yeah, that they are absolutely. Yeah. I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's not like that, you know, some like B-grade tournament that you might get, you know, somewhere else. Like, you know, anyone that they bring in is going to be pretty much a superstar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Somehow we need to get Nick a PWG, a Bola pay-per-view.
Well,
because I think he would really dig it.
He probably would. He probably would. I can contest it.
But it's not the glitz and glam that he enjoys the most. True. You know what I'm saying? True. So
yeah,
it could be a 50-50 thing.
But stepping back in time a little bit, just real quick to close out Ring of Honor. At the end of the show, I managed to grab a picture with Kerry Silken. And he's the Vince McMahon of Ring of Honor.
Right. I was going to say he's, yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, it's cool. He comes out and he talks to the fans and he greets everybody. He thanks them for coming. He watches the matches at ringside. He had a little bit of angle this pay-per-view with Cody at one point. But yeah. Jay Lethal versus Silas Young was a great match.
Really?
Like, when Lethal came out, like, his entrance music kicked on, so we were all back too, at least, you know, on our side, because the entranceway is behind us, so we kind of look back too to watch him come out, and then when they come down, you know, we rotate. Well, we're waiting for Lethal to come out. Yeah. We're waiting for Lethal to come out, and he comes through the crowd, and he cracks a Beer City Bruiser with a chair. Like, it jumped me. It was so loud, and it was on the other side of the ring. Like, it was did you guys see that at all?
Yeah.
I don't know how it came across on the pay-per-view. It sounded like an explosion. Like, yeah. It was like, holy shit. Like, it obviously made us all turn around. And then when they brought the Bruiser by us to take him to the back, you could see the marks on his back from the chair. Like, you know, from the posts and everything like that on the chair. So, yeah, it was... He walloped that man.
Yeah, the worst part about that match was there's this one guy in the audience who kept yelling stuff when they were, like, outside the ring, fighting, like, right by the crowd. It was just so distracting. I'm trying to enjoy the match, and I just hear this guy going, yeah, yeah,
I didn't say yeah, yeah. I was saying, get him lethal.
Get him.
Get him lethal. Lay it into him, lethal. I was encouraging him to beat him up. Oh, God, that was so awesome.
Should have been an impartial witness.
Yeah. I tell you, if Ring of Honor comes back, we've all decided if Ring of Honor comes back to LOL again for a pay-per-view, there's no way we're not going. Like, as long as they keep coming to that venue for a show, we're going to find our way there.
Yeah.
Because they're just, they're awesome. Absolutely awesome.
I'm definitely going to have to try and figure out how to get there myself.
Well, I'll tell you what, dude. Next time, if they go to LOL again, you just got to come up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying.
You got to come up. But, no, we, see, I got the, coming up here, let's see, a week from Friday. A week from tomorrow. Yeah, a week from tomorrow in Fairfield, Davey Boy Smith Jr. is going to be there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's tearing it up in New Japan lately.
Yeah, he's been in New Japan a little bit lately. So he's going to be there, and I got myself a Davey Boy Smith Jr. Japanese card to hopefully get signed, and I got a David Hart Smith card from the WWE to get signed, so hopefully get those signed, and then July the 21st, I have Limitless Wrestling, ticket for that show.
Nice. Is that the... I just looked at it today, too. Is that the one that Sami Callihan's going to be there, too?
Sami Callihan's going to be there. Donovan Dijak's going to be there. Ray Phoenix is going to be there. Him and A.R. Fox have teamed up against Anthony Green and Ace Romero. It's Super Crazies on the show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Super Crazy against...
I was trying to think of the name of the pay-per-view, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
This is something in gold or something.
Yeah,
like
I can't think of the title of the show either. But anyway, it's going to be an awesome show. So I got that. And then I just bought a couple cheapy tickets to WWE August the 12th in Augusta. Take my son.
I'm so excited for you to see a 28-minute Roman Reigns promo to open the show.
I'll just watch something on my phone instead.
I'm so excited for your son.
My son's going to have a fantastic time because my son loves wrestling, and he's very excited to see Finn Balor in person for the first time.
Yeah, it's going to be so great when they put him in a 10-man tag match against, like, a whole bunch of nobodies, and he gets, like, 3 seconds in the ring to do nothing.
As long as he wins, right?
Yeah.
but they've actually added John Cena. WWE's now advertising John Cena to be there.
Well, that'll be okay.
Yep. And then allegedly the Revival. So I'm excited to see the Revival for the first time in person. This will actually be my first time seeing Finn in person. So, yep. But what the hell? He'll have a blast.
Yeah.
It's wrestling. Yeah.
It's not about you this time, Mike.
Nope, it's not. And I haven't been to a WWE show since when Paul and I took the kids, and we went. It was December of 2015. So, yep. Anyways, so look at that. Well, install now. My phone's gonna install an update. So, Ron, you had questions?
I did. See, we had a couple of feedback about how when Aaron asked us questions. Of course, this is different because we're all three on the same call, right?
Right.
But before, I wasn't on the call. It was kind of like the love connection, wrestling style, because we weren't on the same show, but magically, editing-wise, we were. So I thought it'd be fun if I asked you guys some follow-up questions or different questions.
Sure. And I also had one of our new listeners, Carolyn, who's a fan of What Did You Watch This Week, inquiring about why we hate Roman Reigns so much. And I said there's not enough...
characters on Twitter?
Yeah, not enough characters on Twitter to say, but we'll talk about it this week on the show.
I figured we'd close out the show with that.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so you want to end the show on a downside.
Well, would you like to do that now and then end the show on the questions? That's up to you guys. I don't care.
Well, we're already started, so I may as well do that now.
Let's do, yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead. I will give my answer.
Yes.
I am bored by him. Mm-hmm. That is why I don't like him. The thing is, he very, 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 very seldomly loses a singles match. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been pinned clean more than, I don't know, 8 times that I can think of. If he does lose, it's always some weird garbage.
Right, there's a distraction, there's a run-in.
It's something.
The last time I can think of one off the top of my head was when he lost to Balor for the qualifying match for the Universal title.
Right.
So,
you know, and how long ago was that?
Almost a year.
Exactly. So for me, I don't hate him, but I don't like the character that he is because it's 99% predictable. And it's not going to change ever.
Here's you know? What I don't like about him. And I agree with you, Aaron, 100%. When he was a snarky, arrogant heel in Florida Championship Wrestling, who came off like as a douchebag, I thought he was great, personally. When he was in the Shield, I enjoyed all 3 members of the Shield thoroughly.
Yep.
Like I really liked the Shield as a unit. When they split him up, I didn't like. I would never have guessed that Seth Rollins would have been the star out of that. I thought for sure it would have been Dean Ambrose, but now we see how lazy Dean Ambrose is in the ring. And with Roman Reigns, I didn't dislike him at first. I mean, when at Royal Rumble that they did in was it Pittsburgh? Yeah, when. Everyone wanted Daniel Bryan to win,
yeah.
And then Rey Mysterio came out last, and then everyone hated yep. Rey Mysterio yeah, for that. But then people were cheering for Roman Reigns because they wanted him to win, and instead Batista went over.
Yep.
I was a fan of Roman Reigns then. But fast forward a year, when he actually won in Philly, I couldn't stand him then. And for me, it has a lot to do with when he cuts a promo... You can tell he's reading someone else's words.
Yep.
And he doesn't do it well. I don't find him... I used to find him entertaining in the ring. I used to like his in-ring style. Now I don't like it. I don't like it because it's not... He's become the guy that does the 5 or 6 things, and that's all he does. And that's enough.
He has become... basically what everyone complained about Cena being.
Yeah.
When Cena wasn't really even that.
Exactly.
Like everyone used to say, oh, he has his 5 moves of doom or whatever.
I personally...
And that's all he does?
Yeah.
Reigns, that literally is all Reigns does.
Yeah. I personally hate when he pumps his hand before he punches, does the Superman punch. I don't like the setup. The Superman punch I thought was great when he just busted it out. And you didn't see it coming because it was out of nowhere. And that's when it's the best. But when he takes the time to set it up and load up his hand first, it's stupid.
Yeah.
You know, like it's, I just, yeah, I don't like the telegraphing of it. It doesn't get me excited. I don't, and the opposite can be said with Randy Orton. And maybe it's just the way Randy Orton does it. But when he does that thing where he turns and he drops, like he's gonna, you know, do the delivery, you know, like he's gonna go for an RKO. I don't know why, but I like it. I think that's cool. I like the way he sets that up. But there's just something about, you know, Reigns when he does that now. Do you all remember when the Ascension came out and said they were better than the Road Warriors?
Yeah.
And everyone shit on them for it and booed them and it basically killed them. Why is it then that Roman Reigns is coming out and saying he's better than the Undertaker and that he's using the Undertaker's catchphrases? And on and on, and you know, the commentators announced team are getting behind him.
I don't know.
See what I mean?
I was thinking about that the other day.
You know, like, Roman Reigns, like, The Undertaker is one of the quote-unquote most beloved characters that we've had. People love The Undertaker, on yeah. and on and on, and yet Roman Reigns beat him. Yeah, he beat him in WrestleMania, okay? It happened.
Yeah, he beat a 108-year-old broken-down Undertaker. Well, congratulations.
That's the thing. He beat an Undertaker that... And here, you know, and to me, like, did Undertaker tank that on purpose, looking back? Like, did he purposely look bad so that way when Roman Reigns beat him that he didn't actually beat anybody and it didn't matter?
I'm going to say no. because if you look back at the last few times the Undertaker's been in stuff, he did not look mobile.
I think the last good match he had was his match with CM Punk.
CM Punk, yep. Yeah.
Even his one with Bray Wyatt was okay, but the last good match he had was his match with CM Punk.
Yeah.
But anyway, so now you have Roman Reigns is going around saying this is his yard and using the Undertaker's quotes, and people are booing him. But that's the other thing that drives me nuts, is like he basically completely and totally acts like a heel. Talks like a heel, acts like a heel. He's doing heel-like shit. The fans are booing him not because he's a heel, but because they don't like him. And the WWE is maintaining, oh, no, he's the face. He's the good guy. He's the face of the country. He's the big dog. You know, and I don't get it. And that's the other thing that I think that drives me nuts about the whole thing is that when the fans are chanting, die, Rocky, die, they turn him heel. The announcers aren't – they're still not trying to force him down your face as a baby face, and the announcer's getting behind him because it's making the announcers look stupid. Like, I can't stand listening to JBL anymore. I used to love listening to JBL call commentary because he was funny and insightful, and I loved how he picked on Michael Cole. I thought it was fantastic. Now he makes himself look like an ass because I hear him talk up Roman Reigns and, oh, the big dog's coming and on and on and on, and I'm just – I'm not buying any of it. I'm not buying any of it. You know, if they just turned him heel, let him become the arrogant prick like he was when he was in Florida Championship Wrestling, changed his quote-unquote moveset, I mean, and let him go back, like if they just backpedaled with him and changed him up a little bit and actually made him a heel, people would probably like him again and not detest him and not want to change the channel when he comes out or fast forward.
Yeah.
Ronnie?
Or not like him.
Right.
On purpose, you know what I mean? And not just boo him because he was out there and they were bored.
Right. Like with John Cena, okay? People booed Cena. People cheered Cena. No one cheers Roman Reigns. When you have half the crowd booing Cena and half the crowd cheering Cena, that's one thing, you know?
And the thing is, with that, he made a game out of it.
He did. He made a game out of it. Yeah.
You know, but Roman, that's not him. He's not going to do it. He wouldn't even think to do it.
You know, it's just with Roman too, like, you know, his delivery of his promos. I mean, they're just, it's horrid because it's not, he needs a manager. He needs someone to talk for him.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have managers anymore, I realize, but he needs a manager. He needs someone to do his talking for him. Like Brock Lesnar does. Because Brock can't talk. And so Paul Heyman does his talking for him. Roman Reigns can't talk. When he does, it's not... You know he's reading someone else's words. Like, it's blatantly obvious. It's just bad. You know, even Dean Ambrose. Like, I'm sure they just give Dean Ambrose Seth Rollins. I mean, those guys can both talk.
Yeah.
You know?
Agreed.
Anyways, so that's why I don't like Roman Reigns.
Was that one of the questions, or is that just...
That was Carolyn wanted to know why we don't like him. And I said we'd answer it this week, because Twitter doesn't have enough characters. So.
Perfect.
All right. Go ahead with your questions, Ronnie.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Oh, I don't care.
These are some heavy-hitting questions, let me tell you.
All right. Well, just
throw it out there.
Just start. We'll see who answers.
All right. Mike, because he knows more. Are you a heel or babyface guy? And has it changed since when you first started watching wrestling?
I mean, I guess I'm a heel. I don't know. I've always just watched a match and liked who I like. Rather they're a heel or a babyface, it depends on the wrestler, you know.
Okay.
Like I've never been like when I was a little kid, I was a Hulkamaniac because I'm a little kid. And
because
I'm
you're an idiot.
Yeah, because I'm a stupid little kid. No, but like I loved Hogan, but at the same time I loved the Four Horsemen, you know, and I love Tully Blanchard, Flair, and Arn Anderson. Right. So for me, I don't just boo the. I don't just root for a heel because they're a heel or root for a babyface because they're a babyface. I just root for who I like. Rather they be a heel, rather they be babyface, I don't care. I just root for who I like.
Okay. See, but, like, 9 times out of 10, which guy is it, though? Because there's got to be more outweighs more, right?
I'm 100% heel. When you're Mike 100% was here? Heel, when Mike was cheering for Hulk Hogan, I was the guy rooting for Roddy Piper.
But I was rooting for Roddy Piper too. That's the thing.
Nope, like, you said Hulk Hogan, so you don't get the change.
No, I'm saying I root for guys I like. I wasn't like, oh, that's a baby face, so I gotta cheer for them. And
I was obsessed with the Rockers when I was younger, and when Shawn Michaels put Jannetty through the glass, I was a Shawn Michaels fan.
Okay,
Marty Jannetty, he could whatever.
I loved the Rockers when I was a kid, and when Shawn Michaels put Marty Jannetty through the glass, I was like, awesome. And then he came out as the boy toy wearing chaps with his gay little hat and his and everything else like that. And I was like, what? And so I was like, Shawn Michaels isn't cool anymore. And then when he started becoming when he won the belt, I was just like, meh. But then when he turned heel and started with DX, I was like, yeah.
And it's the same thing. For me, I like, when Mr. Perfect and Bret Hart were feuding over the IC belt.
Yep.
I was more in Mr. Perfect's corner.
I was more in Mr. Perfect's corner.
Bret Hart, was like the Canadian hero, I was 100% behind them. I don't know what it is, but nowadays, I mean, if you look at the people I find, the most entertaining.
Yeah.
The Revival are heels.
Yeah.
Kevin Owen is a heel.
Yeah.
AJ, I guess, is kind of a heel.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? The main people that I really like, the majority of them are definitely the heels.
Mm-hmm. I guess I would have to agree with that when it comes to WWE. But when I go to
a show.
I mean, look.
Right.
When Colin
Castle's a heel. He's the greatest of all time.
Dalton Castle's a babyface, sir.
No, he's not.
He is a babyface.
I know.
Sorry. But no, when I go to an indie show, depending on who's in the ring, for instance, we got say Jay Freddie against Chris Dickinson. I don't know who I could pick between the two because I like them both. So I probably just cheer them both through the whole match.
There are definitely times like that.
Yeah.
I was a huge Macho Man fan and a huge Jake Roberts fan. And when they were feuding, it was I don't know. Come on. He had the cobra biting into his arm. That was awesome.
Jake Roberts. Yeah, that's what I mean. Jake Roberts all the way.
But, there are times like that where there are two people and you're just like, I don't even know who to root for.
Yeah,
like AJ and Shinsuke Nux coming up.
Right. When that happens, it's like, I just want either of them to get hurt at that point.
Exactly, right. Yes.
I just want to watch an awesome match. I don't care either way.
Can we?
Real quick, I'm sorry, going to the New Japan for the same scenario. Okada versus Omega at both Dominion and Wrestle Kingdom, I was rooting for Omega, but I like Okada. And then Okada against everyone Okada's wrestled recently, I've been rooting for the other guy. When he took on Minoru Suzuki, when he took on Shibata, I was rooting for them, but I like Okada. He's clearly a great wrestler. I like seeing him as champion, but I don't know. I don't know. I guess I favor the heel now after we talk about it, but I'm more along, I just like who I like.
See, that's why you guys do this every week, and I try to hop on when I can, because it's therapy, right? We just worked out your problem.
There you go. What's next?
All right, Aaron, start us off on this one.
Uh-oh.
And you can't use the person that we just ran it on for 20 minutes as an answer. Okay. So what one wrestler growing up or now can you not stand?
The Rock.
Wow, you didn't even hesitate.
Didn't even have to think.
Why?
I don't know. I never liked The Rock. I don't know why. And it's a toss up between him and DDP. I hate DDP. It's just it's an irrational hatred that I have for the guy. I don't think he's a good wrestler. His matches always bored the heck out of me. His moves were other people's moves, and it never once did anything for me to see him in a ring. And when he puts up his hands to do the diamond cutter, I just want somebody to chop off his hands. I don't know what it is. I mean, he's a cool guy. he's done great things after his wrestling career.
Yeah.
But I do not like him in the ring. Not at all.
For me, it was Buff Bagwell.
Okay.
Back in the day, I hated Buff Bagwell. Whenever he came on the TV, I just wanted to change the channel. I couldn't stand
it. Was that just when he was Buff Bagwell, or did you hate Marcus Alexander Bagwell?
I was not a big fan of Marcus Alexander Bagwell either. Okay. I did not like the American males. American males.
I will admit, when he first came on the scene,
yep.
I didn't like him, but I didn't mind him.
Yep.
But when it was him and Big Papa Pump, I was like, oh, are you kidding me with this?
Garbage. No, I was not a fan of Marcus Alexander Bagwell. I hated when they teamed him with Too Cold Scorpio, because I love Too Cold Scorpio.
Yep.
And it was just like, why? Why with Scorpio? When The Undertaker was doing his ministry business, like when he became the corporate ministry and he had that weird goatee and he'd cut those long, boring-ass promos, was not a fan.
Hmm. All right.
Yeah. Was not a Who's fan yours, of that Ronnie? Either.
Who's mine?
Yeah.
And of course, now it's Roman Reigns.
Well, no, yeah. Which we can't use that answer, so. Back when I was a kid, I don't know. It like flip flop for me, but Buff Bagwell was definitely in there just because I couldn't stand it. Because
you were jealous of his physique.
Yes. I wasn't the stuff, right? But it was just like one time, like, you know how he came out with his no shirt on and his top hat and everything, and he like did
and
the little
tie? Come on.
Yeah, and he did a little dance coming down the ramp. One time I just wished that like his baby oil from his chest got on the ramp and he just fell and broke his neck.
Well, he did injure his neck in the ring from a faulty bulldog.
So yeah. I mean, nasty.
Yeah, that's
kind of got your wish there.
Yeah. And Paul Rougeau. Jacques Rougeau, yes. But, you know,
you didn't
that was kind of like one of the things. I didn't, yeah, it just didn't do anything for me. And like,
oh my goodness, come on. Is cattle prod in jail?
I was not a fan of the oddities.
Yeah.
Next question.
Mike, we're back to you.
Alrighty.
So this is like a follow-up from one that Aaron asked us.
Uh-oh.
Aaron asked us which single wrestler did we like that not everybody else liked.
Uh-huh.
Right? That wasn't over. So like our answers couldn't be Hulk Hogan or Savage or whatever.
Right.
So what is the tag team that you liked that wasn't the most popular?
He liked the Oddities.
Hated the Oddities.
Just said you liked the Oddities.
I did
that's
not
even
like
a tag
Oddities.
Team. That's a faction.
That's a faction. You mean like in like what time frame?
Like okay, for example, my favorite tag team growing up,
yeah,
Billy and Chuck
was the Killer Bees.
The Killer Bees. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so I think a really underrated tag team in the WWF in that time frame was like Power and Glory.
Yep.
I don't know why, but they were a great tag team.
Paul Roma was awesome.
Say, Paul Roma was a great wrestler. I do not agree with him being a member of the Four Horsemen, only because he was positioned as a job guy in the WWE, and then now he's a member of the Horsemen. I didn't buy it even then. Like, I thought that was stupid. Didn't make any sense. But like Paul Roma is like really good in the ring, really athletic.
I love their finishing move too.
Yeah, but I thought Power and Glory is a great underrated tag team then, and then later Furnace and LaFon.
Okay.
Doug Furnace, Phil LaFon, were like wasted in the WWE, absolutely wasted in the WWE. If you watch some of their matches from Japan, holy crud, amazing, absolutely amazing what the stuff they
kind of like the VOD villains were.
Yeah.
Or like how American Alpha is now that they're up on SmackDown as opposed to when they're in NXT.
Wait, they're up on SmackDown?
Allegedly, yeah.
Huh. I haven't seen them in like
they're MIA.
Yeah, exactly. Or even actually, let's go one step further. The Shining Stars. the yeah. you know the whatever the Matadors, whatever, you know, the Colognes.
Right.
Great tag team, really good tag team, but you know, dumped all over. So.
Yep, I agree.
Aaron.
Yeah, no, I Power and Glory, man. And another one.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there were two very popular guys, I guess. But I don't know what it was. I love Strikeforce.
Oh, yeah. Strikeforce was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Tito Santana and Rick Martel.
Yeah, Strikeforce was a great
fantastic.
Team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Rick Martel and Tom Zink, the Can-Am Connection. I thought they were a good tag team.
Yeah, that was a good one.
But yeah, Power and Glory, like, they were a great tag team. Like, they you know, never had a chance getting the belts around their waist, clearly. But I thought Power and Glory was a great tag team, even with their stupid sunglasses.
Come on. Anyone that has Slick accompanying them to the ring is okay in my book.
I like Slick.
And also, that's not true, because I hated most of the people he managed.
Nice.
All right. Aaron, next question. You ready?
Yes. Okay. Wait, no. Wait, yes.
Here it comes anyways. So, which wrestling moment, and not a big moment, I mean, I guess it could be, because it's your opinion, what wrestling moment do you remember the most as a kid, or in the last couple decades? So I guess any time in wrestling, basically. Like, say...
How old do you think I am?
Well, a couple decades at least. Yeah. No, but like, say, you know, we put on the Facebook thing that like last week was the Pipe Bomb promo, right? Or right. 2 days ago, actually.
Yep.
Or the beginning of the week was the birth of Austin 316, right? So well, like one of those big impactful moments.
The first moment, and I mean, this is probably one of the biggest ever in the history of wrestling, mm-hmm. is I remember as a kid watching Hulk Hogan slam Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it's something that, you know, back when you think it's real,
uh-huh.
you know, and everything, and you're, I don't even remember how old I was back then, maybe 8 or so.
Well, it was 1987.
Oh, yeah. So I would have been like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And, you know, but like back then you're just like, oh my God, like it's impossible. There's no way. And then he does it and you're just like, mind is blown. And now you're just like, oh, well, basically he just kind of flipped himself up in the air. Yeah. But, that one definitely stands out. And I want to say the other moment that like really, really, really stands out in my head is, I guess I'll bring him up because no one brings him up much anymore. But when Benoit won the world title and he turns around and Eddie Guerrero standing with his title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the two of them just get that look like, you know, hey, we were in WCW getting shit on and now we are the champions.
Yeah.
You know, over here.
Yeah. Right.
And that big hug and like all the confetti shit and everything going on.
Yeah.
Well, if you remember when I was, well, just a little while ago, talking about Cody Rhodes and the emotion and everything.
Yeah.
That's another thing right there. You know, when Benoit won the belt, you know, it meant something. Like, he bawled his eyes out.
Yeah.
And it meant something to him. Like, literally, he worked 20 years for this. Because just a couple years before that, when he won the WCW title.
He basically just, like, threw it away.
He did not have the same reaction. You know what I mean? It was not the same type of reaction when he won the belt then. I mean, he won it, and then the next day he quit the company. So, I mean, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. When he turned around, there's Eddie, and then they embraced and everything. That was awesome. That was an awesome moment.
Yeah. Yep. I agreed. Mike?
I don't know. I guess, like, it's...
I mean, it doesn't have to... It could be a big moment just for you.
Right.
Because, like, for me, I would say, like, one of my favorite moments as a kid or a big moment as a kid is I remember how pissed off I was when Randy Savage turned on Hogan because of Elizabeth.
Elizabeth.
We love it. In his eyes.
Look at that. He touched her bottom. You know, I guess for me, like, you know, watching It was on a – I thought it was a Superstars of Wrestling, but apparently it was not. It was on the old All-Star Wrestling show. And for me, it was when Paul Orndorff turned on Hogan. They were wrestling the Moondogs, and for whatever reason they wrestled the Moondogs, and then for whatever reason Orndorff turned on Hogan. And he gave him the pile driver in the ring, and then Bundy and Stud came out and everything. And yeah, that was a big thing that stood in my mind when Orndorff turned on Hogan.
When he
joined the Heenan family, yeah. And it led to their cage match at Saturday Night's Main Event, and then they did the double finish. And I remember this very vividly when I was a kid and I was watching this, because, you know, they did the double finish when they hit the floor at the same time, okay? Mm-hmm. Both the referees, the evil Danny Davis and then the good guy Joey Morella, they were saying like, oh no, you know, Hogan won. No, Orndorff won. Hogan won. Orndorff won. And then they ordered the match restarted. And this is the first chink in the armor of Hulk Hogan that I saw. And I remember even asking my dad, like, why is he acting that way? And when they ordered the match to be restarted, and if you watch, Orndorff is the aggressor. Orndorff is the one going after Hogan, getting him back in the ring. Hogan is begging off, like, you know, to not be put back in the ring. And I'm just like, what the fr-? I'm like, why is Hogan begging? Why is it? And my dad's like, oh, because, you know, he thinks he already won the match. I'm like, yeah, but they told him he didn't. It was a tie, and they have to start the match over. Why is he refusing? Like, this is Hulk Hogan. He's supposed to be, you know, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, big tough guy, always defeats the bad guy, you know, on and on and on. And there he is begging off, you know,
right,
to not
right.
go in the ring. And that was, I became, that is the, that was like the start of my downward slide from liking Hogan.
That's a good one.
And then another moment that stands in my mind that I was just like, what the hell was that? Was the first time I saw Muda spit mist in someone's face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because I'd never seen anything like that before. He cheated to win, and it was awesome. But yeah, yeah. When Hogan begged off from Paul Orndorff, I was just like, what? That's not who, like, you know what I mean? He wasn't Hogan. Go back and watch it. He did. He begged off. Stands in my mind 30 years later. Anyways.
All right, Aaron. This is for you.
Uh-oh.
Since we're coming up on Great Balls of Fire.
Jesus Christ.
What, in your opinion, is the worst pay-per-view name?
December to Dismember.
Yep. Well, only because the actual name of the pay-per-view is cool, but then the actual pay-per-view itself is the worst pay-per-view ever.
Yeah, it was not good. But like, no, like, I don't know. I never understood the In Your House name. Like, I mean, it was cool when they gave them all, like, the subtitles, like, In Your House, Mind Games. And you're just like, all right, that's kind of okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just...
Well, In Your House is supposed to be like a live show that happened in your house, right? Exactly.
But yeah, December to Dismember for me is the dumbest of all the pay-per-view names.
I hated Greed and Sin and the last WCW pay-per-view names. Yeah, those last ones like that.
Also, remember when instead of the Great American Bash, they just called it The Bash?
Yeah, that was stupid. Yeah.
That was pretty dumb. Yeah.
I was excited when they brought the name back, The Great American Bash, because I always thought that was a cool name for a wrestling show.
Yeah,
there's like a bunch Starcade. Of cool ones.
Like Halloween Havoc was cool.
Even Fall Brawl was a cool name.
Yeah.
It's Fall Brawl. You got SummerSlam, followed it up with Fall Brawl. Like, yeah. Why do we have stupid pay-per-view names like Roadblock?
Yeah.
You know? Call that one... And why can't we have a December pay-per-view named Starcade?
Yeah. Mm. Who knows? Yeah. Probably because they know it's not going to be as awesome as the old Starcades were.
I have a blog I'm currently authoring right now that pretty much shows that Starcade wasn't as good as Remember.
Well, all right. I stand corrected, sir.
Yeah. Like, we definitely have some fond memories of Starcade, but if you want to compare Starcade side by side with WrestleMania, after, like, Starcade 87, Starcade really goes downhill.
Yeah. So on the flip side.
Yeah.
Gimmicky names. Yeah. Not really, not like the big four, right? For WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series. What is your favorite pay-per-view name?
Oh, I'd have to go with December to Dismember.
Wrong.
It's a great name.
Honestly, I like for me, for example, I like Backlash. Now, some of the Backlashes themselves haven't been awesome.
Yep.
But I like the reason why it's called Backlash, right? Because yep. it's so that makes sense. I mean, it's not the coolest name, but it makes sense. So that would be my answer.
I would say, you know what? I would probably go with, what was the one?
Who made
it? I just forgot the name. The one, the one in Canada, Canadian Stampede.
Oh, Canadian Stampede.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that one just because it was, you know, like a nod to.
See, you know, I would agree with you on that one. I enjoyed that name as well because of Stampede Wrestling, because that actual when it takes place that they have the festival up there called the Canadian Stampede, like they're, you know what I mean? So that was a cool one. I don't know, I thought WCW had some great pay-per-view names like we just talked about, like Starcade, Super Brawl, Slamboree, Great American.
You like
Bash.
Slamboree?
I think Slamboree was a cool name.
Okay.
I like their Lethal Lotteries.
They actually had a Lethal Lottery pay-per-view, like one of them.
Two of them, I think.
No, like the name of it was like Lethal Lottery. I think they only did one. Oh, no. Sorry, I'm thinking of Battle Bowl. They did one pay-per-view called Battle Bowl once.
Yeah.
Back when they did like this, you know, they were doing weird, like the Music Weirdness. City Showdown. And yeah. Anyways, I don't know why you don't like Slamboree.
Like Slammiversary and Slamboree to me just seems like sin or greed. You know, it's kind of cheesy kind of thing for me.
That's fine, but probably Starcade and Great American Bash, non-WWE ones. I think probably kind of the two of the coolest names. If you want to talk about the ECW pay-per-view names.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were.
Yeah, I was
like,
just trying to think if any of those
guilty
were
guilty as charged. Anarchy Rules, charged. November to Remember. Probably November to Remember. Only because it rhymes, but
yeah. Also, the December to Dismember.
Yeah.
Which One Night Stand. No.
When they did it the first time, yeah, but when you
see,
do it
as,
again,
as like it, yeah. Two Night Stand.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, whatever.
They just change it to Extreme Rules.
And well, it could always be a one-night stand, right? Because you don't have the same rematch.
Right, right.
True.
So, Michael Labbe.
Yeah.
Your favorite pay-per-view of all time, card one, or match one, two, we're going off the air.
My favorite pay-per-view of all time from top to bottom?
Yep.
I guess SummerSlam 2002.
Hmm.
You had Shawn Michaels' return against Triple H. You had Brock and Rock. You had Kurt Angle against Rey Mysterio. You had Ric Flair against Chris Jericho. I mean, even The Undertaker and Test was good. That was just a great show that's kind of stood in my mind for a really, really long time, top to bottom. I mean, there's been other pay-per-views, like, I don't know, the Best in the World. I just went to Ring of Honor. That show was awesome, top to bottom. But, I don't know, I'm trying to think off the top. I mean, there's a lot of pay-per-views to choose from, but that one just kind of stood out my mind.
Yeah, that's what I was going for, is, like, which ones actually, like, that you could watch over and over and over again. That was great. Aaron.
See, it's a tough one. I think overall I would probably say I gotta go with WrestleMania 4 just because I love a one night tournament and that was awesome.
You know, it's hilarious.
The quality,
brain, I hear you saying that.
the quality of it all was not wonderful looking back at it, but I mean at the time it was great.
And when you rented it, it was two tapes for one price.
Absolutely. Jeez. I can't even think. I think the ECW's Barely Legal was great, when the one where Taz and Sabu finally had the match.
Oh, their first ever pay-per-view?
Yeah. I thought that was really great.
Yeah.
Trying to think. One of the SummerSlams I really loved. Was it 2002?
The one I just named?
Yeah, that's the one that you said. That's where
Brock and Rock met for the first time. Shawn Michaels made his return against Triple H.
Yeah.
Chris Jericho against Ric Flair. I mean, that was a great card top to bottom.
Yeah. The Money in the Bank 2011 was really good.
Oh, the CM Punk?
With CM Punk, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those are probably... Yeah, those are probably my picks.
All right.
Maybe WrestleMania 17 is up there.
That's one of the gimmick battle royal, isn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah. Is that, you know, that was also the TLC match, and it was, what was it? I don't even remember.
Real quick, Clash of the Champions 1, although not a pay-per-view. Pretty awesome show.
Last three questions, and the last one is a kicker.
Okay.
So, in person or not, which match surprised you of how good it was because you weren't really looking forward to it at all? So it could have been wrestler A and wrestler B, and you're like, oh, that doesn't interest me at all. But then when you actually watched it, you're like, damn, that match was actually pretty good.
CM Punk and John Cena main eventing Raw in Baltimore, maybe?
Is that where CM Punk busted out the pile driver?
The pile driver.
Yeah.
It was like a 30-minute match on Raw.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I love CM Punk. And at the time, I was like, fuck Cena. I'm just like, I'm so done with this guy. But, you know, then they have this match, and you're just like, God damn, that guy can go. You know, and the entire match was just incredible.
Shawn Michaels versus Cena from Raw when they were in England. It was their, like, return match or second match, whatever, his follow-up match, after they stunk out WrestleMania in the main event.
Yeah.
Okay. You remember the WrestleMania match where they were like, wasn't good. They just didn't make.
Didn't,
you
know, click. I mean? Yeah.
Like, Undertaker versus Batista. That match, like, I thought that match was going to suck on WrestleMania. And I was blown away just how good that match was. Mm-hmm. And then when we get to Shawn Michaels and John Cena, which I thought would be a good match, was terrible. And then they had the return match on Raw, and they went an hour, which you didn't expect.
Yeah.
And then Shawn Michaels got the win clean after a super kick, even though it was a non-title match, like at the 58-minute mark. I mean, I was shocked about that and kind of blown away by it. So that, I guess, that one.
Okay. Because for me, most recently, I think it was, and it's kind of funny that we all have him in this, but it's the AJ Cena match.
Oh, yeah.
Where AJ won the belt?
Yeah.
Or retained the belt or whatever?
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think another one, you know, I mean, everyone else in the match was good, but the four-way with Big Cass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was good.
That, you know, I remember being like, why is he in this match? And then you're watching it, you're like, you know what? This guy's putting up a show. Yep. You know, he's doing really, really good.
Or kind of like the three-way with Baron Corbin, right?
Oh, yeah, yes. That one too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. The one was Baron Corbin had a match with, was it the same match? Was it the one that was with Styles and Cena or something like that?
Yeah.
Baron Corbin really shined in it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
He was in there with the other veteran guy, so at first you're like, oh, they're just making him look good, and then, like, halfway, maybe 2-3 minutes in, you're like, no, that dude's actually, like, holding his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of the same at the NXT TakeOver with the Revival and DIY and the Authors of Pain in the Triple Threat.
No, okay. I don't think so. I don't think that's the same at all.
No. I mean, for me, I'm saying, because I went in being like, you know what, something's going to happen, and the Authors of Pain are going to eliminate somebody real early on, and then the matches is going to suck.
Yeah.
But I thought that match was amazing. the authors held their own.
DIY got eliminated. Until the Revival got eliminated, you mean?
Yeah.
And then the authors looked bad.
Yeah, but
and then they spent the whole match not being able to climb up the ladders, and then all of a sudden they just basically jumped up the ladders.
All right.
And the fact that they actually didn't even need to stand on the fucking ladders to grab the belts. That five-star classic is what you're talking about?
I didn't say five-star classic. I said the match is better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
So it went from two stars to...
Oh, my gosh.
No, I thought the match was good until the Revival were eliminated. And then you really saw that the authors really suck. So anyways, go ahead, Ronnie.
Second to last question.
Mike is my least favorite. You're my favorite. Next question.
Best entrance.
Ooh.
Ever?
Like singular entrance or...
Like
or...
singular, right? Like, for example, you got Shawn Michaels scaling down. Or you have Bobby Roode being lifted up. Or you have Triple H wearing the skull mask getting carried down. Or you have the... Will the real John Cena please stand up? And he has all the John Cenas lined up. And he runs down.
Man.
That's a tough one.
My favorite everyday entrance right now is Dalton Castle.
Yes.
Okay. So for everyday entrance, coming to the ring, Dalton Castle. And then followed shortly or second or right after there by Nakamura.
Okay.
Just because his music and everything. And then I guess I would say Finn Balor, even with or without the demon. I just enjoy his music. I enjoy the way he comes to the ring, the fan interaction with it all. So those three guys with Dalton Castle on top, in that order. Dalton, Nakamura, and then Finn Balor.
So Bobby Roode?
Everyday entrances. Then put Bobby Roode at the end of that. The current everyday entrances, you know what I mean? It's definitely Dalton. Right, and then, but like all-time coolest entrance, gosh.
What about you, Aaron? Like everyday entrance.
Everyday entrance. I mean, it's got to be Dalton Castle, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it has to be.
Right.
That or when I was a kid, the Ultimate Warrior. I just the freaking energy that guy had.
Right.
You know, I mean, you have events where everyone is getting carted down to the ring, you know, because the ring, the entryway is like 8 miles long, and everyone's riding in on the thing, and then his music hits, and he just comes charging out and runs around like a lunatic, and you're just like, this is the best.
Yeah. Probably one of the coolest Ultimate Warrior entrances of all time was when he did the run-in to help Hogan when Hogan was getting beat at WrestleMania 7, when Hogan's getting beat up by Sid and Papa Shango, and the entranceway actually had like a corner into it. And
that
camera shot where the cameras, and all of a sudden the elderly just comes running around the corner, running down the aisle.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an amazing visual.
Yeah.
My favorite all time. I mean, it's probably got to be.
I mean, you can break it down to older to now if you want.
I mean, HBK coming down on the zip line was spectacular.
Yeah.
Because that was like, you know, one of the first times that you ever saw anything like that.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
But I think my all-time favorite entrance, and it's actually with two people, the Shawn Michaels Undertaker WrestleMania match, where Shawn Michaels like descends from the heavens.
Yeah.
And the Undertaker like comes up from hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That whole thing was amazing. I mean, Undertaker always had great entrances.
I've I've witnessed a few great Undertaker entrances myself, but
but like very rarely do you have both people get awesome entrances in the same match.
And right.
That definitely stands out in my mind.
So I guess for me, the entrance, I saw this one in person, and because of the emotion involved and what it meant and the event and everything else, I got emotional. I got the goosebumps and the hair raising up, and I cried a little bit because whatever, I'm a man.
It was Gilbert coming down and getting burnt by the sparklers.
Shut up! It was WrestleMania 24, Ric Flair's entrance.
Oh. Right?
Yeah, I was there in Orlando for that, and when he came out, like, he cut the little promo first, and then Shawn Michaels, you know, has his entrance, and Ric Flair comes out, and he's got that awesome robe on, reminiscent of Starrcade 83, and, you know, he comes out, and he raises his robe. He opens it up and everything like he does, and then the fireworks go off, and it's like a 4th of July fireworks display going off as he's walking to the ring. Okay. And just the whole thing, like the whole thing together, like I'm talking about it now and I'm actually getting chills now thinking about it. I'm probably going to have to watch it tonight now. But just the whole thing, like to me, that was just like amazing. That was like, look how much they respect this guy, you know what I mean, and everything else. And then, of course, he has to tarnish it all by coming back and wrestling Hogan in Australia and then going to TNA, which happened, right. Aaron. And
what? No.
Yeah. But, yeah, for me, that was just amazing because it was Ric Flair, greatest of all time. So.
All right. So, last question. To end the show, or maybe not, I don't know.
Probably, we'll have to get ready for work.
What is your favorite theme, and you have to sing at least one line of it?
Oh, that's tough.
I mean, it's got to be Kurt Angle singing Shawn Michaels' Sexy Kurt. And at the Hall of Fame, at the Hall of Fame, singing it with the crowd was the highlight for me of the Hall of Fame this year.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Sexy Kurt.
That was pretty awesome.
I mean, that was fantastic.
Pretty awesome. Gosh. Entrance music is hard. There's been some iconic entrance music. Most of them don't have words.
Right, yeah. I agree.
But the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, his WWF entrance music.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just a common man. Working hard. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
And
the opening.
The other one I always liked. I just like Macho Man coming down to Pomp and Circumstance.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That when that hit, so good.
Yeah.
Did you like Steve Austin's Disturbed entrance music?
No. Not really.
It's weird sometimes seeing him come down to that when you're watching old stuff, or seeing him come down to the regular.
Yeah.
Chris Benoit, when Our Lady Peace, when they updated his music.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass. It's too bad you never get to hear it anymore.
Right, yeah.
But that was pretty badass. Agreed. And then Edge's entrance music is really good.
The Alter Bridge one or the Rob Zombie one?
Edge had a lot of good ones.
Yeah, but his last one.
The Alter Bridge one is the On This Day one.
Yeah, that one then, yeah. Okay. I don't know. There's something about, like, there's certain musics when it fires up, you just get pumped up immediately. And especially, like, when you think about the Royal Rumble, it's like, oh, I'd love to hear that kick on.
This might not be a popular answer, but I loved when CM Punk had Cult of Personality.
Oh, I loved that one, yeah. I thought that was great.
Yeah.
It fit well. For me, like, I was never a fan of that song. But
no, I wasn't either, but
when it hit, good, that was great. Yeah.
That's the one thing kind of like when you go to like going to a WWE house show, when the entrance music kicks on and it's familiar, you know, and you know who it is automatically, and it's blaring through the arena as they make the, I don't know, there's something about when, you know, when you watch old stuff and the guys run to the ring with no entrance music, it's not saying that's bad, but like,
yeah,
you know, entrance music is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And there's been some great ones. I think probably my first one ever that I fell in that I just loved was Mr. Perfect's.
Hogan's music.
Mr. Perfect's.
Oh yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like that was some pretty grand music. But yes, Hogan's Real American. I had the wrestling album.
Yeah. I loved Money.
That's a good one too. That's a really good one. Everyone's got a price.
Yeah, see? That's just great stuff.
Everyone's gonna pay. But yeah, Andrew's music is pretty cool. I even the other day, for whatever reason, I saw that next week on SmackDown they're gonna have a battle rap between the Usos and the New Day.
Oh yeah, and guess who's not watching SmackDown?
Yeah, well, honestly, as I'm sitting there watching, I'm like, you know what would be really cool is while they're out there sucking really bad, all of a sudden the old Basic Thuganomics music kicked on, and that's when Cena made his return.
Well, he is supposed to be there on the July 4th
well,
SmackDown.
Well, that's what I mean. So if Basic Thuganomics kicked on and Cena makes his return to his old music and he comes out and he buries both of them, I'm like, I actually would probably love that.
Yeah, because that would probably pop me. Yeah.
It would, because so it made me look it up, because I remember, didn't he come out to that at some point recently? And is with his feud with the Rock, he did a Rock sang a Rock song, and then Cena did a rap. Yeah. It was a Rock versus rap gimmick they did, and Cena came out to Basic Thuganomics, had a throwback jersey on, chain with a padlock around his neck, hat backwards.
Yeah.
And
didn't they like trade promos back and forth, like where one was not on set, one was off set, or whatever?
Something like that, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, it sounds familiar.
So. I thought it was cool when Cena had the, Rock had that, like, some sort of shirt, and then I think Cena came out with the one that was, or even was the Miz, maybe, that came out that said live via satellite or something.
Yeah.
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 So, cool. Great questions, Ronnie. I guess I got to come up with some questions to ask you guys now, seeing I'm the only one that hasn't done it.
Well, I just thought it would, you know.
Oh, no, I thought it was great.
Everybody enjoy that episode, and then, you know, it sparks sidebars and whatever, so.
No, I think it's absolutely fantastic. All right, guys.
All right.
Well, let's see here. No, next week, was it July 9th is the next pay-per-view? We can talk about
that
next week.
Yeah, it's not this week, it's next week.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, we'll talk about that then. Oh, real quick, though. I do want to say this.
Oh, no.
I'm enjoying the Samoa Joe and Brock Lesnar build.
Oh, okay. Yes.
I'm enjoying it more than I expected I would.
Me too. I think that's one thing they're doing right now.
That is the one part of Raw that I did not fast forward through all of.
Yeah, I think that's one thing they're doing right now is the build for that. I actually... You know, I didn't give two shits about Goldberg versus Lesnar from the first match to the last match. I will say, though, their WrestleMania match I thought was the best interaction between the two.
Yes. WrestleMania 20?
No, I thought their WrestleMania match this year was better than their WrestleMania 20 match. But that's how shitty the whole program was. Yeah. But I will say I am thoroughly enjoying the Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar build. And to me, they have definitely made it that if Samoa Joe won the belt, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah,
unlike Goldberg, Joe is being presented as a credible contender for Brock.
See, I still think that they're seeds of the new Triple H evolution thingy going on.
That's not gonna happen.
I still think it is.
Well, we shall see what happens.
Because, I'm just saying, you know, you had him and then Kevin Owens is on SmackDown now, so that really doesn't work. But
see, you already proved yourself wrong.
Big Cass can fill in that role.
Well, okay, so to talk about Cena one more time, I was just thinking this. Brock Lesnar, basically, since he's returned, his better matches, his best matches, have been against Cena and Triple H.
Yeah.
Even his first big match he had was Cena that he ended up losing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
And then the one time that he destroyed Cena, like, and gave him, like...
Not that SummerSlam match. I was talking their Extreme Rules match where he punched him in the head with a chain at the end to get the win and everything.
When
Cena got, like, in the first 20 seconds, Cena got busted open with the elbow to the head.
Right.
And then by the end of it, Brock got busted open with a chain punch in the head and everything else. Like, that was, if you go back and watch that was a damn good match. But Brock really hasn't had a whole lot of great matches on his return, but it doesn't matter because he's Brock and he looks like a badass and I know what he can do. Every time he comes out, I get excited and I fall for it.
Right. I understand.
So, cool. All right, fellas. I'm going to go get ready for work.
All right, take us out, Aaron. Or do you guys do that anymore?
No, we do. Mike usually forgets what the name of the podcast is.
That's my gimmick. On Twitter. Anyways.
Yeah.
But
if he was a wrestler, his gimmick would be forgetting Twitter handles.
Yep.
His promos would be like, I was trying to tweet to you, but I kept saying, I don't know what your Twitter is.
I know mine. I'm at SuperstarML.
That's ML, not NI?
No, ML, like Mike Labby. See?
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not milliliters.
Right. And you're at Aaron Espel.
He's very into metrics.
I am. We're the only country that don't use them. But you're at Aaron Espel, and Ronnie's at RonBar316. So I remember those things. It's just the show.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's the show. The one numeric O-N-E-K holds pod.
It's close. Right?
An O, close. An N, and an E, and then a K, and then then the words pods, and then hold, right? And then the show's got a Facebook page too. That's something similar.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
With some backslashes and whatnot.
Oh, aren't we supposed to say something along the lines of like, "There's a new, web page coming up for the Nerdy Legion, and you may have to research and resubscribe on the show because the feed may change."
Yes,
the new web page is launched here in a couple weeks, so be on the lookout for that.
Yes, that is correct.
So we got that in there.
Yep. So if you go to listen to the new episode of Thousand Holds Pod,
podcast of a thousand holds.
And it's not there, research it and resubscribe.
Yeah,
yeah, it's Nerdy Legion, N-E-R-D-I-E,
L-E-J-O-H-N.
U-N, sorry, Legion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry, J-U-N, you're right, yeah.
So are we like the Hardy Boys then?
Why would you say Z instead of S? That's just foolish.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Everyone knows how to spell boys.
Right.
Because Vince Russo is our producer, bro. All right.
Ronnie, special I know you're not here a lot, but...
our wonderful our guest for tonight, Ron Barr.
Ronnie, I know you're not always here, but we close out by a silent pause, and then Aaron will or will not yell something, depending on if his kids are awake or asleep.
They're all asleep, so someone else can shout something if you want.
But we still do a pause, and then Aaron will treat us with something. And then I laugh, and that's how it ends.
There will be no laughing.
Yes, there will.